Our scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 9, Invitation to the Thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely he will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways or my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Here ends the reading, the word of God for the people of God.
I thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate that this morning. And I invite each and every one of you to join with me in an attitude of prayer. Please, thank you. Father, thank you for your word. It's not just ink on paper, it's living. You're speaking to us. And while we can hardly imagine that, it's true. You've promised to never forsake us through the cross and what was done on that cross for us. And so this morning, once again, we receive hope and promise from your word of life. Help us to soak it in and then to live it. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. It's interesting because I find that in Yuma, of all places, people get reconnected with people that they've known from years ago and from other places. I mean, people get connected here from wild and woolly places like South Dakota and Idaho and you know, all of these uncharted lands that exist. In there, absolutely. Feel free to shout out. Go ahead, just dive in. And people get reconnected. Honestly, they haven't seen somebody for 40 years, and then all of a sudden they run into somebody at McDonald's or at Walmart or at Fry's. And they share this with me. And then sometimes they say, hey, come and see this guy at church, and I really appreciate you doing that. That's fantastic. But people are brought together for a reason. And I don't believe there's any coincidences. Whenever I was back in Pennsylvania and I was serving churches there, I was sitting and having coffee, and I looked out the window and I saw somebody that I hadn't seen for many, many years. We both did kind of the double take, and he came back in, which was a good sign. If he'd run after he'd seen me, I knew what else to think. So, but he came back in, and we hugged each other, and Dean Bakhte, since I had known him in high school, had entered into ministry. And it was a particular kind of ministry, and a ministry that really, really required you to be all in. He was traveling to China, and he was putting on Christian concerts. You heard me right. It was quite an experience to hear about what God had done in this brother's life since we'd last gotten a chance to talk. In fact, he'd put out a CD of original Christian songs, and he sang them in English, and then he sang them in Chinese. It's phenomenal, wonderful. And what he was saying to me is that in that country, the reason why they can have a Christian concert, and it was actually televised on their government television over there, is because they have closet Christians in the Communist Party. In other words, individuals who are believers that make things happen behind the scenes but can't necessarily proclaim their faith out loud. Interesting, isn't it? Ways that God is moving, ways that God is touching lives that we would never think could happen. So, is our God an awesome God? Can our God do anything? No question about it. No question about it. But what I really wanted to share with you is that we eventually got to eat. Which is not a surprise for any of you that know me. It's important. And we went to a Chinese buffet. And I just asked Dean, finally, while we were sitting there, I said, is this anything like what you ate in China? I thought I knew the answer, and he said, not even close. I hate to burst your bubble. Whenever you're thinking you're getting authentic Chinese cuisine going to one of the buffets around here, you ain't. Not even close. Not even close. It's okay. I don't think any of us really mind. Whenever he was sharing that with me, he was sharing, no, it's a completely different type of food. And he also shared with me something that was interesting. He shared that those who have the Christian faith there would gather together, and they would really cherish what they did have because there is great scarcity in that land. And so they would cherish what they had, and they would truly honor God for each and every bite, for each and every sip, for everything that God provided. There's a perspective there that we gather, isn't it? Because as we gather and fill plates, then later still feel hungry. Doesn't that happen whenever you go to a Chinese buffet? Be honest. Some people have said that to me. Feel hungry later. Start thinking about what we are filling ourselves with. Are we filling ourselves with what really sustains us? Are we seeking after that which really lasts, or are we just trying to fill or satisfy a craving that we have? Or just be able to be gratified? For us, we should be striving after that which really sustains, really, truly quenches a thirst that we have, really fills us and carries us on the journey of life. We should be seeking after God's grace and redemption and forgiveness, and most of all, His love. Now, I've said many, many times that God offers that love and that grace and that forgiveness and that redemption. So why do we have to seek after it? Well, there are plenty of times when God offers that and we're not paying attention. Sorry, I have to break that news to you, myself included. God is offering it to us, literally washing us over with it, just pouring it out on us, and we're kind of doing our own thing. Have you ever tried to get somebody's attention who is really focused on a task? Maybe watching the television? Hey, I'm here. Or something else. And they're just enamored with that amazing device. Or whatever it is. And not even listening. Well, for us, we are regularly in that place with God. I'm not condemning anyone. I'm not chastising anyone. That's not the point of this at all. It's just part of our human predicament. God continues to want to fill us with that which really lasts. And we keep searching after other things. We keep looking. We keep hungering. We keep thirsting. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Now, some commentators have actually looked at that and compared that to Middle Eastern hawkers, you know, who are hawking their wares in the marketplace. Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. See this amazing device. It chops. It dices, it slices, it washes your car. You've probably seen some of those late night commercials, infomercials also. Maybe some of you have sent away for those devices thinking, how have I lived all my life without this? How have I survived without the magic bullet or whatever it is? Now, some of you are probably going to tell me later, hey, Pastor, that really does work. It does a nice job. That's okay. Happy for you. Trying to get people's attention. Trying to say, there's something more in life, and God is offering it to you already. And you don't have to spend any money on it. This particular passage, by the way, was written to a people who were still in exile. In other words, they were separated from their homeland. They were out of their comfort zone. Let me put it that way. Okay? You ever been out of your comfort zone? Ever had to do something that you were not necessarily familiar with or comfortable with? These folks were out of their comfort zone. And these words are offered to them, saying, although you have turned away from God, although you were taken into exile, although you were taken captive by a foreign power, God still is going to offer you what sustains. God still wants to be at work in your life. There's hope in that message, isn't there, folks? When we turn away and then we say, well, my way really isn't working out too well. Hey, God, are you still there? He says, oh, yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm still here. I haven't gone anywhere, actually. Now, let me share something with you, though. Some of the folks who were in exile, they'd been there for a number of years now. Okay? They'd been there for a number of years. Some of those folks may have just become successful in that new place. They may have been doing well, okay, financially in their lives. And maybe this call from God was going to be challenging them in a whole new way. Calling them back to Him. Certainly, you think you're doing well, all right? But you're not following my way. You're not following my ways. Boy, that's a challenge. That really is. Whenever we get in a comfort zone. that's basically of our own creation, doing what we're comfortable with, and yet it might not necessarily be what God is calling us to do. Okay? It's a whole different kind of comfort zone. Doing what feels good rather than doing what is right. It's a call to those folks as well. There are some questions that we have from this. And there are some questions that we need to consider as well. Because this morning, as it works out, as God has worked it out, we're going to have communion. In other words, we're going to be actually tasting of God's grace. We're going to be receiving the body and the blood. We're going to be reminded that although sometimes we have been in our own kind of exile, isolating ourselves, wanting to simply do what felt good rather than what was right, wanting to make ourselves happy rather than being filled with God's everlasting joy, we can come to the table, and each and every person here, each and every one of you is invited to this table, okay? Not only that, but each and every one of you is welcome at this table. Do you understand that? Each and every one of you is welcome at this table to taste of God's goodness. And when you think about how God wants to fill you up for the rest of this earthly life and in the life to come with Him in heaven, this is the table that truly does sustain. The body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ poured out for you. It's really because of those elements and what they point to, the cross, that we know what God offers is what really satisfies us. These are some questions I want you to consider also as you come to the table, and maybe as you're coming out of your own exile, okay? Your own personal exile. Maybe you feel like you've been separated from God and you're coming home to God. You're coming home to God today, or you're in a time of coming home to God. Consider these questions. Do you identify fellowship with God as a deep need or as a luxury to pursue after other needs are met? It's a good question. And another question. What are you spending money and time on that does not satisfy you in the end? That's probably an easier one to answer, isn't it? Probably. I mentioned to you earlier, just a few moments ago, but some of the meaning behind this table before us. It's really quite extraordinary. Years and years ago, a small gathering would have come to a table. By the way, I'd like those who are going to be serving communion to come forward at this time. Communion stewards, if you could just stand right down here also. Communion stewards, if you could just stand right down here also. Thank you, and come forward. And what he did was phenomenal. He, meaning Jesus. He broke the bread. Now, this was a while after Isaiah. Understand that. But he broke the bread, and he said, "This is my body broken for you." Okay? That deep hungering for a more meaningful relationship with God hadn't gone away. It's something that comes up again and again and again. That's why, as believers in Christ, we understand the meaning behind this meal. It's God sustaining us. It's God really filling us. The body of Christ broken for the people of God, for your real spiritual hunger. Thanks be to God. Then after that, he poured out the cup. And more extraordinary words. In fact, even every time I say them, I think about how the disciples must have felt. Because as he poured it out, he said, "This is my blood of a new covenant. It's shed for you for forgiveness." And as you receive this, as you drink of it, know that God has forgiven you. Know that God loves you. Know that God wants to quench that thirst that you have for more of Him. As you receive this communion, know that this blood was shed for you. It reminds us of God's grace. The blood of Christ shed for the people of God. We are the people of God. Thanks be to God. After the communion stewards receive the elements, you will be directed forward to receive these gifts of grace. All are welcome at this table, and it's an open table. Come and be fed. Come and get your thirst quenched.